A few days ago, I'm sure you read this article as well. According to the eminent British theoretical physicist Stephen Hawking, in a new book, God Did Not Create the Universe, he says, the Big Bang was the inevitable consequences of the laws of physics. Though he has suffered ALS since he was a young man, he is known as the brightest mind in his realm of physics and is also known as atheist. In Grand Design, co-authored with the U.S. physicist Leonard Mlodinow, Hawking says a new series of theory made the creator of the universe redundant. According to the Time newspaper, which published an extract on Thursday, September 2nd, 2010. This is what the extract says. Dr. Hawking says, because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Note that word, please. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is a something rather than nothing. Why the universe exists and why we exist, Hawking writes. It is not necessary to invoke God to light the blue touch paper and set the universe going. Hawking is 68 years old. He won global recognition because of his book that was published in 1988, The Brief History of Time, on account of the origin of the universe, and he is also renowned for his contribution for the black hole and knowledge of the black hole and cosmology and quantum gravity. Obviously, he's a brilliant man. However, I do have a problem with his new book and new concept. His new fancy theory of the new creator and new creation by God has a fatal problem. And it should be discarded because it violates the bottom basic things of physics 101. Let's make it very simple. What does it mean, nothing? Is there anything in nothing? If studying was, as he said, let's go back to what he said, will create self from nothing. If start with a nothing, and that means there is no quantum gravity, there is no laws of physics, there is no laws of, though there is no gas, since there is no beings, right? You guys are a little slow on that thing. And there is no amino acid that is essential ingredient for any protein that requires for any biological being. Correct? No amino acid, no protein, no biological being. And nothing means completely nothing. He cannot have anything that generates something from nothing. So he cannot insist that. If you believe that there is something happened from nothing, I honest to goodness, I have an oceanfront property in Sarita to sell to you. It's a beautiful oceanfront property. If you believe that. Folks, the universe has a signature of God in every aspect. Whether Dr. Stephen Hawking believes it or not, or he wants to deny it all he wants, all things were made through Jesus Christ, and without him nothing was made that was made. So let's go to verse 2 of chapter 1 in the book of John, and we'll pray. Gracious Father, from the rising of the sun to its going down, we will praise your marvelous name as we seek your truth through your words. You make yourself known to us clearly that we may proclaim you as our Redeemer, our Creator, our life giver, and the light of the world, and most of all, sustainer. Indeed, everything is from you. Away from you, without you, we are nothing. Father, we lift up the President Obama. You speak to him. You guide him in such a way that he may acknowledge you and become your follower of Jesus. And we pray for our troops. Lately, there has been a lot of lives been lost among our troops. We are asking you to protect the rest of our troops, and that you speak to the family of those lost soldiers. Give them peace and comfort. And we lift up our law enforcement personnel and firefighters, especially the one in and around this community, and especially the one who attends our church. We're asking you to watch over them as they watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 2, he was, note that word, he was in the beginning with God. Apostle Paul is writing this gospel in common Greek, which is known as Koine Greek, which is used by the most common people in Greek, in Greece. It was not the same kind of Greek language Dr. Luke used in the book of Luke. It was a more complicated one. I'm sure that you'll notice that the pronoun of the word is he. It's not it. Okay. Usually, if you want to say the book, and it become pronoun, would be what? It, or this, or that. But in this case, the word is he. We all know that in context, this he is Jesus Christ. As same as now, that there are plenty of people who claim that Jesus is not God in 2,000 years ago. We can find in 2 John. Let's go to 2 John, way in the back. Verse 7. 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out, note the word deceivers, have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as the coming in flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. According to Apostle John, anyone who claims that Jesus is anything other than God is a deceiver and antichrist. Some would think that, well, gee, John, are you having some bad apostle day or something? Isn't that too harsh to call those who sincerely believing Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses as the antichrist? But not according to Apostle John and Apostle Paul. Let's go to the Galatians chapter 1, please. Verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away as soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to the different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than that what we have preached to you, let him be what? Accursed. This is a serious word, folks. That's including the angel who brought the golden plate, as mentioned in the Mormon book. By the way, for a side note, a Fox News personality, Glenn Beck, I'm sure many of you know him. He organized a conservative political rally in Washington, D.C. very recently. During the rally, he proclaimed that his religion, Mormonism, is a part of Christianity. No, thousand times no, Mr. Beck. It is not. Mormonism claimed that Jesus is a separate God from God, Father, known as Elohim. I don't have a problem with the Elohim is the correct word for God. However, they says that Jesus was created as a spirit child by God, a father and mother in heaven. I've been studying the word for over 20 years. I don't find anywhere in 66 books there is a mother in heaven who created Jesus. Do you? Jesus is the elder brother of the old man and spirit beings, including Lucifer. His body was created through sexual reunion between Elohim and Mary. Jesus was married. His death on the cross does not provide full atonement for all sin, but does provide everyone with the resurrection. Tell me that is not another gospel. It is another gospel. You follow me? That is, if you are into Mormonism, if you've been into Mormonism and you know somebody who has been into Mormonism, I'm sorry to say this, it is straight from the pit of hell. According to my Bible, according to your Bible, Jesus is God. Period. Move down to verse 3, please. All things were made through him. This is Jesus. Without him, nothing was made that was made. How did Jesus create things? Did he use the same kinds of method like we do in the laboratory? We try something, it didn't work. Okay, start all over again. We make something else. Trials after trials. No, he simply spoke. He simply spoke. Keep your finger in John and let's go to Genesis 1, verse 3, please. Then God went to his laboratory and started to try this thing. Right? No. God said. He spoke. Let there be light. Okay? He spoke. He simply spoke. You know, for us, the more we speak, the more we put ourselves in trouble. Don't we not? We tend to do that kind of thing. But God's word is so precise, he created everything perfectly with his word. With only exception of human being. First Adam and Eve. What did he do? Since you are in Genesis, move to chapter 2, verse 7, please. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, the man became living being. Move down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made into a woman. He brought her to man. Now, see, the great theologian Jack Laverty said this, ever since God created woman, the man and the animal never have rested. I think that's awful things for him to say there. By the way, Pastor Jack is a single, godly man. He's available in the market, okay? However, he has a full requirement for the future wife. Number one, that person should be a godly, single, preferably woman. Second thing is that she should be rich. Thirdly, she should love train, since he loves train. Fourthly, she should have no baggage in her life. At that rate, Jack, you ain't going to get married for a long time. Folks, it's not unusual for many Christians to think that God no longer speaking. Somehow they think that God, if he does, he only speaks to some selected Christian leaders. Is it true? And actually, some TV evangelists will say, well, God spoke to me. Not you, but to me. They act like they're having some special message from God. Listen, God's word is not spoken, rather, it's still speaking. You hear me? Let me say one more time. God's word has not spoken, rather still speaking. The Bible is the written word of God because it is written, it is confined and limited by the necessity of the ink and paper. However, in truth, we can hear the voice of God through it if we are willing to listen to Him. And the voice of God is a friendly voice. No one need to fear to listen to Him unless he has already made up his mind to resist it. If you choose to resist the voice of God, that, yeah, is a fearful thing. Each day with your Bibles outspread in front of you, alone, preferably, you need to do your time. If your husband and wife, it's a good thing for you to spend time together. However, you need to have a time alone with God, without your wife, without your husband. And open your heart to receive what He's about to speak to you through the Word of God. If you can have a little small notepad on your side, so after you read the Word of God and let Him speak, just pay attention. He might speak to you through the jump, this verse might jump out, grab you, and try to speak to you in volume. It's so loud you're thinking that the whole neighborhood heard it. Or sometimes He can speak to you with a gentle voice. Spend time. Make time. Don't say, "Oh, I'll find the time." Never works. You make a time. You push everything aside. If you have a children and you have a husband, say, "Husband, come watch the kid. I'm spending time with God." And if you have a wife and say, "I need a time with God." You need that time. He will speak to you in person through the Word of God. Not through like that. Only way God will speak to you without any fault, it will be through the Bible. In context. God's written word in the Bible can have a power only because it corresponds to God's word in the universe. It is a present voice of God which makes the written word all the more powerful. Otherwise, it would lie locked in a slumber within the covers of a book. You agree? Hello? Yeah. The Word of God is quick and powerful without failure. In the beginning, He spoke to nothing, and chaos heard it and became something. And chaos became an order. And darkness heard it and it became light. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Before then, there was only God, nothing else. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by Him, who is Him? Jesus. All things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether throne or dominion or principality or powers. All things were created through Him and what? For Him. In other words, we are created for Jesus Christ. And He is before all things. In Him, all things consist. If you have a different version, like NIV, you might say held together. In other words, if He says, "Okay, I'm not going to hold you guys anymore," guess what? We get dismembered. Literally. You see, while the believers of Jesus Christ would fall on their knees to worship God, but the people, unbelievers like Dr. Stephen Hawking, will get on their knees to examine, to look for the fault, because they do not believe in God. Bless you. And they will try to mock at God even though they have no understanding. Move down to the verse 4, please. In him was life, and the life was not, life was the light of man. The word is the source of all life. And the ancient Greek word that translates life is zoe, which means the life principle, not bios, where we get the biological life. That this life is the light of man, speaking of spiritual life as well as natural life. Natural light, rather. It isn't that, that the word contains life and the light, but he is life and light. It means that without Jesus, we are spiritually dead. Why do you think we use the word born again? By the way, in case you don't understand the meaning of born again, it means born from above. That's what the definition of in Greek. We are spiritually dead and in darkness. We are lost. And since men have an inborn fear about death and darkness, he tends to grasp for any kinds of assurance, even if he has to generate one by himself. That is the basis for the cult. Since he chose not to believe in God, he had to come up with something. So what do we do? What does he do? So he come up with some other object to worship so he can get some sort of assurance. It's known as what? Religion. And you may say, well, don't we have a religion of Christianity? No, we do not. We do not have a religion of Christianity. This is a lifestyle. This is a life we have. We have life in Christ Jesus by believing in him. The word life is one of the key words in John's Gospel. It used 36 times throughout John's Gospel. And what are the essential for the human life? There are four things I can find. Is number one, light, air, water, and food. Jesus is all of this. Let me find it for you. Jesus is the light of life and the light of the world. In John 8:12, please. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness and have the light of life. And Jesus is also the Son of Righteousness. Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, right before Matthew, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But to you who fear my name, did you notice it's capital M, my, it means God, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with the healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like a stall-fed calves. And also his Holy Spirit gives the breath of life. John 3:8, please. John 3:8. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Where do we get the Spirit of the living God? Through Jesus Christ. And God, Jesus Christ is alive, living water, rather. John 7:37, please. John 7:37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, will flow the rivers of living water. And Jesus is a living bread of life, and came down from the heaven, and he is life. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am what? The bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst again. And Jesus is life. You guys know this by heart, so I'm not going to let you turn. But John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me. Very good. Let's move down to the verse 5 of chapter 1. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Folks, light and darkness are recurring themes in the gospel. There's a constant contrast. God is a light, while Satan is a power of darkness. People love either light or darkness, and this love controls their action. Turn to the 3:19, please. 3:19. Are you with me so far? Yeah. That's the Calvary Chapel. And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world. Of course, the light is who? Jesus. Light has come into the world, and man loves darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deed may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. Folks, it is no wonder why the world hates Jesus. If you tell people about, I believe in God, they say, no problem. Right? Many times they don't have a problem believing God. But when you say, I believe in Jesus Christ, now all of a sudden you draw the line, and now you are making enemies. You know, Reverend Oprah Winfrey said that. We have a same God. We all go to the same God. My God is nothing to do with Allah. My God has nothing to do with Jehovah's Witness God, their own idea of Jehovah. Or Hare Krishna, or Buddha. They are not same God, folks. Do you hear me? This Bible is exclusive. Exclusive means very, very narrow. It does not negotiate. And people say, well, isn't that narrow-minded? Yeah, thank you. I tend to be narrow-minded when it comes to truth. I said this before. How would you like to be in the airplane, and I'm a pilot, and I say, the tower says, okay, airplane, well, let's say Southwest. Southwest 1354, use a runway 19. Wind coming from the west and such a knot. So you use a runway 19. I say, nah, I think there's a little green pond. That it looks comfy. Why don't I try that? How would you like to be in my plane? You would say, give me the parachute. Why? Because I'm supposed to follow precise order from the tower to land that plane on the runway 19. Any other way, I can cause a problem. Crash and burn. Some people say, well, I can make my way to God because I'm a good person. Really, how good is good? Your good may not be good enough for another person's good. Guess what? Your goodness is not even coming close to goodness of Jesus Christ's standard. Folks, according to my Bible, according to the Bible on your left, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the result of our sin is a damnation in hell. And people try to say, no, let's not be narrow-minded, and let's be tolerant. Okay? Really, you want to be tolerant? Then why do you persecute Christianity? Well, that's a different. They said because the Christianity is not negotiable, Christianity is not tolerable, so we are not going to be tolerable. Wow, that's a great concept of being tolerable. Folks, you cannot say, I'm holding on to truth and I'm holding on to something else. You may think that it's so close at the beginning, but further you go, it's going to be far from each other. You cannot hold on to both. You have to let go of one. And majority of people let go of the truth to hold on to the one to satisfy their flesh desire. Can you do whatever you want, fleshly desires with God? No. Absolutely not. That's why God says, carry your own cross. That means denying your carnal desire, trusting in Him. You would think that the blind sinners would welcome the light. But such is not always the case. The coming of the true light brought the conflict as the power of the darkness opposed it. Make sense? They'd rather make fun of the gospel and the truth of God in the Bible since they choose not to comprehend by their own choice. Nobody go to hell because God sent them. People go to hell because they choose to go to hell because they choose not to follow God's way. Whenever Jesus taught the spiritual truth, his listener interpreted in material and a physical way. The light of God was unable to penetrate because they choose to go inside the spiritual dungeon of their mind. Listen. Some of you might be in that spiritual dungeon right now. And you're saying, well, I don't care what you say, preacher, who speaks lousy English. Well, okay. It has nothing to do with my lousy English. It has everything to do with the truth of God. If you're trying to deny the truth of God, you are inside of that spiritual dungeon and you're thinking that you are doing just fine while you're on the way to hell. Is that what you want? Or would you like to be set free by the power of God and the bondage from Satan? All you have to do is just commit your life to Him. And you don't have to live with that fake righteousness. Let's make two applications. Number one, God's word is still speaking, emphasizing still speaking. All we have to do is listen to Him through the Bible. Second application, Jesus gives life more abundantly to those who diligently seek Him. Seek Him every day. Please don't say, I'm too busy. You are not that busy. You can shave off 15 to 20 minutes of the 24 hours. Anyone who is too busy, would you please raise your hand? Nobody. You're not going to raise your hand, huh? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thankful for you speaking the truth to us. Not always easy to take, but it is your truth. We thank you and we are grateful for your truth. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.